Welcome to Illuminated Lamb, where we discuss the themes of Christ and light as found in the scriptures. If you're following us on YouTube, please comment, like, share, and subscribe. It helps our placement into the YouTube algorithm. Several years ago, I ran across a book by Dr. D.A. Carson. The book is entitled, A Call to Spiritual Reformation, Priorities from Paul and His Prayers. Prior to reading this book, I had never read any specific devotional or theological work on Paul's prayers. You can see as you read them from the various letters that he did, his priorities in the way that he prayed for individuals, the way he prayed for churches. I'd like to give you an example from Dr. Carson's book to make the point about how we can learn to pray the way that Paul does, and understanding it's not just a matter of technique, but it's a matter of priority. Dr. Carson writes, "Do we not spend far more energy praying that our children will pass their exams or get a good job or be happy or not stray too far than we do praying that they may live lives worthy of what it means to be a Christian?" I'm going to skip ahead slightly in the text. In this portion, Dr. Carson is giving a scenario in which one person is asking another how their adult children are doing, and the person who's responding happens to respond with how well their adult children are doing in their jobs, how they are advancing beyond those around them, and how they're doing financially quite well. And then resuming the text with Dr. Carson, the person who asked the question originally says, "And how are they doing spiritually?" A long pause. "I'm afraid they're not really walking with the Lord at the moment, but we're hoping they'll come back someday." Of course, the initial response of such parents may be a reflection of nothing more than privacy, a quiet and loyal concern not to disparage any family member. But too often, it reflects warped priorities. I have had parents, ostensibly Christian parents, rage at me because they thought I had influenced their bright children to train for ministry, perhaps for missionary service. Others are joyous over their children's material prosperity and not terribly concerned over their children's utter indifference to the God who made them. How will these values appear 30 years or 40 billion years from now? From eternity's perspective, what should be the primary things for which we should pray for our children, for ourselves, for our fellow believers? When was the last time we prayed for such things? When was the last time we prayed that God might count us worthy of His calling? In past episodes of this podcast, I have specified ways in which I will pray through the Psalms or talking about meditation on Scripture as a driver for prayer. I'd like to extend that thought here by having us take a look at an example of one of Paul's lessons that he can give us from the letter to the Ephesians, and just a small section in which we are taking a look at the way Paul prioritizes the way he prays. In writing to the members of the Church of Ephesus, Paul writes, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him." I wanted to point this out because I think it's important for us to remember that there are some things in Scripture in which we are supposed to stop doing one thing but start doing something else. I want to counsel us that that's going to be a little bit different in the way that we pray. I think a lot of us will instinctively pray for our children, spouse, perhaps our parents, for other conditions around the world, maybe in our neighborhood, and we're asking for basically material and physical things. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think what Dr. Carson's concern is, and mine because I'm doing this podcast episode about it, is that we shouldn't limit our prayers only to those items, that in terms of our prayers, we need to pray for the things here and now, but also with the sense and the priority of praying for the hereafter as well, for the physical as well as the spiritual. I want you to take a look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16, notice that Paul says that he does not cease to give thanks for the members of the Ephesian church, remembering them in his prayers. I think this is perhaps a different priority of prayer than we may be used to. How often do we give thanks for others, perhaps our spouse, our children, It may be something such as a job or the circumstances in which we live. How many of us as Christians give thanks on a regular basis for salvation in Christ? How often do we thank our Lord God for being our Lord and our God? So I think it's important for us to factor in, when it comes to things such as biblical priorities, that giving thanks and remembering is basically right up there in terms of biblical priority. In verse 17, we see that Paul is referring to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. I think it's important for us to remember that when we're praying, we should remember who we're praying to and to have a sense of the honors that belong to the Lord God to whom we're praying. When you think of what has been called the Lord's Prayer or the Our Father, when the Lord Jesus gives us that pattern of prayer, it begins with our Father, not just simply, "Hi God, it's me." And I know that there are times that that may be an appropriate prayer. However, the pattern we're given is to remember our Father and then hallowed, or may your name be made holy or kept holy. So these are God's priorities when it comes to prayer. When you do take a look at the Lord's Prayer, you'll see that the petitions for "Give us this day our daily bread" aren't right at the top. They're in the middle. So we have to remember God's priorities when we're praying. And again, keeping in mind that we are praying for the physical, but we're also praying for priorities that go beyond this world and go into eternity. Going back to verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 1, we see where Paul prays that the Ephesian church may be given the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I think that's important, because when we are praying, do we pray that others will have God-given wisdom in their decisions and in the way that they make the decisions of their lives? Do we pray that the Lord God will reveal more and more of himself to them? And the primary means of doing that is through the scriptures. We find at the end of 2 Peter's letter that Peter writes that we should grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when it comes to praying, let's say for our children, our adult children, even for, let's say, our small children. For example, I have adult children. I also have two grandsons. When my wife and I are praying every night, we do pray that they will be kept safe and kept from the power of the evil one. We also pray that they will be brought to spiritual, physical, emotional, and mental maturity, and that my two grandsons will be lights for Christ in their generation. Doesn't mean we don't pray for their other needs, which are there and real. However, when reading Dr. Carson's book, reminding us, here's how Paul prayed, you can see how his priorities affected the way he prayed, that this can be a learned pattern for us. Again, praying for the things we need in this world, but also carrying our prayers beyond that into the needs of our family, our friends, our community, and praying for their spiritual and eternal needs, as well as their physical and temporary needs. I hope you will find this of benefit, and I will see you on the next podcast.